We always heard, well, the Favres, they pitchers and quarterbacks because their daddy's the coach. Yeah, that's true. Urban worked them three times as much. They had to run this road every evening when they got home. They had to do sit-ups before they went to bed. He made them work.
Irv loved his kids, and he loved football, and he loved Hancock North Central football. And the competitiveness to him was, we're going to be successful. We're going to do whatever it takes to do that. That's probably the part of him that maybe went into Brett as much as anything, is that I'm going to do whatever it takes to be successful.
I watched him and his daddy go head to head. Irvin would call a play, Brett run something else. And it didn't matter if he made a touchdown. He didn't do what his daddy told him, you know, and they'd be nose to nose.
What was a dinner table like with coach and players at the same dinner
Not
table?
Not only dinner, riding home from school, and, you know, we both taught there. And I'd say, look, couldn't you just leave it on the field? Let us eat in peace? Or what? But it was constant. Constant.
The success you had, how much of it had to do with your mom and your dad and the coaches and a house full of brothers? I mean, how much of that played a role, do you think, in all that success?
I think that more than anything is the reason that I was successful. In our household, there was no room for sissies. I mean, it just, believe me, there was times where I tried to act hurt, or maybe I was a little hurt. Maybe I remember one time in particular, I slid into second base. I must have been 10 or 11. And I think I was thrown out. So I laid there like I was hurt. And I can remember my dad, the scolding that I took on the field was way worse than getting out. And I just remember learning a valuable lesson that if you ain't hurt, don't act like it, you know. And there were many other times that actually maybe I needed a little compassion or a pat on the back, but I wasn't going to get it.
Favre carrying it in for a touchdown.
Running the wing tee, running the wishbone does not showcase the talent. It does not say anything about passing. From the outside looking in, if you go back, you would think that he was doing everything wrong. I think he just did what he was doing, and we're just going to play. I'm going to teach him toughness, and there's a lot more important things than just completing 30 passes a game. It was a great environment that obviously worked for me. And taught me a lot of things that at the time, maybe my dad and definitely myself had no clue that it was shaping me for the type of player I would be later. Because you would think if you never throw, this is not good, Irvin. Your son's not going to have many opportunities, which I didn't, but it did work out.
On December 21st, 2003, Irvin Favre, Brett's father and coach, died suddenly of a heart attack. Brett got the news in Oakland the day before the Packers were scheduled to play the Raiders on Monday Night Football.
You can imagine, it's sort of like when I was traded. I didn't know what to, you know, I was like, what? There was no talk about playing or not playing at that point. It was just kind of, I don't know, consoling, but yet still not believing, you know, just what in the world is going on here? And Mike Sherman was awesome. That team was awesome. There's no other place I would have rather have been in Oakland preparing for that game.
So my instinct as a family member is do whatever I need to do to support him. If he says he's flying home to Mississippi, no problem, we got this. We'll take care of the Raiders.
Well, I know Coach said if you need him home, he can come. I said, his daddy would kick that dirt so far if he didn't play in that game.
I remember speaking to the team. I couldn't even tell you what I said. I just remember it was hard. It was really hard.
He stood in front of all of us, strawberry-faced, crying, emotional, and he told us, my dad would want me to play. He wouldn't want me to sit out. He would want me here. So, guys, I'm going to be here with you.
And yeah, was I choked up? I was choked up. Did I have to talk? No, I didn't. I remember Mike saying, you don't have to do this. And I just, and I think that one of the things I said is, I hope you have my back. More than any other time in my career, I need it. In 20 years, I've never had any pressure that comes close to what I felt prior to that game.
Everybody was on the same page. Everybody knew what needed to be done on Monday night.
Favre has time, waiting, looks, rainbows deep down the right sideline.
Yes! Peterson
over the shoulder catch. He's got it. What a throw by Brett Favre.
The focus was that much tighter because I think we wanted to do it for Brett.
Favre fakes the handoff, bootlegs right, throws the right side of the end zone. Got Walker, touchdown.
We just clicked on all cylinders that night. Whatever Brett threw up there, it came down in the Packers' hand.
I remember Wesley Walls making maybe one of the greatest catches of his career.
Guns the left side of the end zone, and it's diving grab. Oh, what a play.
That ball could be thrown in one spot, and that's just where it was.
It was just one of those special nights where you really looked around and said, there is an angel around here somewhere doing something. I mean, it was truly a phenomenal night.
You get the spikes on the arms because you just, you feel back to that emotion and how impressive that performance was.
We are seeing a special performance tonight by Brett Favre and his receiving core.
Another chapter in the legend is written tonight.
I felt Brett would have a mediocre game, you know, right down the middle or so. Nothing really bad, but nothing great. But what happened, it's still unbelievable.
I always wanted to play great, but you have no idea. This game will always carry more weight, more meaning than any other one, for obvious reasons. And it just happened to be on the biggest stage at that time that it possibly could be on. There was no question I needed to play. I mean, you knew my dad. I mean, you know, people say that, but, you know, about their situation. But my dad, that's all, I mean, that's what was important to him, football. And it, by no means would he say, don't play. I wish I had my dad back. But it could not have played out any better considering the circumstances. When you think of Packer football, what do you think of? Ice Bowl, you know, just cold, the smoke's coming out. Bart Starr, Vince Lombardi, just tremendous teams, championships. That's what you remember. Well, there had been a huge lull, obviously, since those times. And that's what everyone was hanging on. They went to the games, you know, they cooked bratwurst, they drank beer and all this, but it was always talking about those days.
From the time Vince Lombardi left in 1968, until the time Ron Wolf arrived in 1991, this franchise struggled terribly. You know, fortunately, most people have forgotten what it was like in the 70s and 80s, but I was here. I went through those years. I know what it was like.
Everybody said this place was dead. This place would never be resurrected. There wasn't a better moment for me personally. 1996, when we won the NFC Championship, in Lambeau Field.
Here's Brett Favre, back to throw. He looks out of time, going to the end zone. There's Dorsey Levin. Touchdown, Dorsey! Brett, straight back in the pocket. Quick drop, goes to the outside. There's a fade, it's there. Touchdown on Antonio Freeman. And a perfect throw by Brett Favre. Here's a play action fake, handoff, second guy, Bennett.
Wow.
Locked into the end zone. Edgar Bennett with a hole on the right side that you could drive a truck to the Super Bowl through. Man, we've waited a long time, folks. The Packers are on their way to New Orleans for Super Bowl 31.
Hey, Green Bay, how about this? Guess where we're going?
To have that feeling and that experience, to be able to go through that in front of our fans here in historic Lambeau Field, the cathedral of the National Football League, to me, that's my biggest thrill here.
I can't even explain how I feel. I remember telling this crowd and telling the media before we started the season we were going to a Super Bowl. In 2 weeks, we'll be in New Orleans.
Here we are, finally back to what Packer football should be. That was really the start of a new beginning and the way it should be.
Brett Favre has proved again what a terrific player he is.
I tell you, nobody more deserving than
Brett's
Brett
going
Favre.
Home.
Super Bowl 31 played in New Orleans at the Superdome. How big was that for you? I mean, a favorite son of the area leading the Green Bay Packers to a Super Bowl championship.
Again, it's kind of like the right coaches and the right GM. You know, it just all fell in line, and it just was only fitting. I jokingly say this, but the only downside to that is I had to buy too many tickets. And I was way too tight.
Welcome to Super Bowl 31.
You played a lot of games. What do you remember about that one?
You know, I remember two things. Now, if I really sat here and dug deep, I probably could remember more. I remember the audible, I think the second play of the game.
Here is the second down and nine. Brett Favre appears to be changing plays at the line of scrimmage. Two wide receivers right. Chimura is the tight end to the right, and back goes Brett to throw. Here they come. He's got time. He's throwing it downfield.
He's got him.
Wide open. It is going to be a touchdown to Andre Rison. Rison takes it across the goal line.
I think old Brett called the exact right audible for the situation there, Max.
Not only had I not completed that play all year, I hadn't even attempted or even talked to Andre about it. Had I been thinking about it right in the present moment, was able to stop and think about what I was actually doing, I probably would have thought, are you crazy? This ain't gonna work. But yet it did.
Look at Brett Favre coming off the field. He is so happy. His first pass goes for about 50 yards or more. What a great play.
That's when I come off the field holding my helmet, and people probably are like, oh, look, he's like, look at me. What I was saying is, it worked. It worked.
Well, I thought it was great, too. I mean, you know, because I used to tell any quarterback I've ever coached, and Brett was no different, that the play I call, I really like. I like the play I called. So if you change it, that's okay, but your play had better work. It better work. But in the biggest game of his career up to that point, and mine, yeah, he saw something, a blitz. He went to a young guy who hadn't been with us very long. And, yeah, it was beautiful. When he came off, I remember I said, "Hey, great call."
The one thing that trumps that is halftime. Mike comes in, and, you know, this is a long time ago, ZZ Top's playing the halftime show. Well, as soon as he goes to talk, I mean, he's getting ready to start chewing a little butt. Typical Mike, you know, his face is red. You know, here's what we got to do, man. All right, gather around. And like the next, and it's like they just, boom, the music just, it was deafening. They go into legs. You know, it sound. I mean, I think it was legs. I mean, it was just boom, boom, boom. And he's like. And I think like 30 seconds into it, he realized that no one could hear it, the word he was saying. He just. I'm not even going to tell you what he mouthed. I think he mouthed. And I just thought to myself, I actually thought going out that we're in trouble because we didn't really hear what adjustments we were going to make. He just kind of just, hell with it. And that was it. That was our halftime talk. So people, you know, may wonder, you know, what inspirational speech. It was legs by ZZ Top.
The Vince Lombardi Trophy is coming home where it started. World champion, Green Bay Packers.
That foursome of Wolfman, Holmgren, and Favre and White, they get here. We start winning immediately. And 5 years later, they win the Super Bowl and bring the trophy back here for the first time in 29 years. The turnaround was not only solid, but it was so fast. We couldn't have done that without a Brett Favre quarterback.
I have no idea what's going to happen next, but it's going to be exciting.
He starts to run. I go, no, no. Didn't you not listen to a single thing I said?
Freeman trying to adjust to it, and it's incomplete.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
It
Freeman picked it up.
Hand.
One of the first people there was Brett Favre asking me, what are you doing? Did you catch the ball? Did you catch it?